It's like Jewish parcel tongue, what you're doing.
You mean parcel tongue?
No, parcel tongue is anti-Semitic. You know that.
Oh, that's true. Well, it is JK.
It cancels out.
Yes, that's right. She did make the goblins Jews.
Yes, very true.
Who work in the banks.
Yes.
I was just listening to a podcast about her.
Oh, goody. What in particular were you listening about?
Well, it actually wasn't a podcast. It was ContraPoints. Shout out to ContraPoints. It was ContraPoints' video essay on a podcast.
Uh-huh.
And it was about this podcast that came out called The Witch Trials of J.K. Rowling. That was like a J.K. Rowling defense podcast. So, but she's anti-ContraPoints. Mm-hmm. She's a trans, like, I would say activist, like a pop culture theorist.
I thought you were gonna say she's not an ally, but she hangs.
She's
all right with them.
She goes to the ally crowd. She's like, "What's up, guys?
Yeah, you have fun. I'm having a coffee.
I'm having anyone like sports?" She's a sports chick.
Yeah. No, we know you guys love sports, and that's the issue. Love it a little too much.
You guys love sports too much. How's that? You know, our good friend Chris Scherr, friend of the pod, is playing in my softball league.
Oh, yeah.
She plays in my softball league. And she's so good at softball.
Well, she's just a natural athlete. She's amazing.
So good. And she used to play baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so good.
Didn't she also do football? She did in high school.
Yeah, she played football in high school. She's, like, incredible. And she can, like, slam the shit out of the ball, but she's so good. And then she got so good recently that for the first time ever there was a trans woman in softball, like, thing where, like, some guy from the other team was like, "There's not enough women on your team," and then, like, the most Long Island guy on our team came over and said to like this transphobe on the other team, "She's a girl, now you feel stupid, huh?"
That's beautiful.
Which is beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now you feel stupid.
Now you feel stupid, huh? Yeah.
Wait, did the guy on the other team know that Chris is a woman?
I think it was a combo of things. I think it was like he wasn't totally sure, and also she's so good that he was just trying to get, like, a competitive edge. You have to field three women on the team. Mm. And also Chris was in the outfield that day, so, like, was looking at her from far away. Like, from far away, I could look like a man.
I don't think you could pass for a man at any distance. You are very womanly, is what I'm saying. You're a womanly woman.
Are you talking about my intellect?
Yeah,
and how there's none there.
Yeah, both of them.
Both intellects, yeah. Intellect one and intellect two.
Yeah.
Gonna get demonetized. No.
I'm so sorry. I think we're good. We're fine.
Welcome to Two Nosy Meerkats, the podcast where my intellect is up here.
Yes.
I am wearing a Hooters shirt. I just realized that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, right. Lucas, I've been naked this whole time. You haven't been able to tell? Whoa.
Oh, yeah. No, I noticed you had a Hooters shirt on. It's a good shirt.
It is a good shirt.
I've been thinking I should get one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, to match what me and Tina.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good shirt to have. Yeah.
Have I told the story on the podcast about how I got the Hooters shirt?
Maybe. Remind me.
So this is from high school. I was on the high school baseball team, and the coach of the baseball team was sort of like that Long Island guy where he was very much like, "All right, listen, you're a girl on this team and no one's going to say shit about it, but you're going to carry equipment. You're not going to be a princess. You're going to carry equipment the rest of the boys, all right?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm one of the boys, whatever. And then the coach, because of that rule, was like, "Okay, we're all going to Hooters because we won a playoff game, and you're coming to Hooters too." And so we all go to
Hooters too.
Hooters, which is the sequel to Hooters 1. You won't understand Hooters, and you won't understand Hooters 2 unless you've seen the original.
Hooters 2, Tokyo Drift.
Hooters 2, how you doing? Notoriously Dune 2 is titled How You Dune.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of look like two dunes.
Oh, two dunes, one cup.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Oh my.
Still traumatized by that.
Yeah.
So we walked in the restaurant and I remember feeling like, I don't know, very at home. You know, it was just like all the women were like very lovely and they call you like honey and miss. And like, it's kind of like weirdly more of a maternal vibe in there than like a sexual vibe.
Interesting.
Because they're like mothering you. They just happen to have Hooters. Mm-hmm. And then the coach was like, all right, listen. And he pulls me over. He's like, you see Julian over there? And Julian was like one of the freshmen on the team.
Uh-huh.
He was like, we're going to pretend it's Julian's birthday. Because when it's your birthday, the waitresses come and sing to you.
Oh my God. I think that like someone has to do that every day. That is, there's no way that's not an everyday thing at Hooters. Someone saying it's their birthday when it so isn't.
It's my birthday again. I'm 140. What can I say? I'm a vampire.
They're like, you're 13 still.
What can I say? I look 13 forever.
So it's Julian's birthday.
Julian's birthday.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that this is happening. The waitresses all come sing to him. It sounds, the mother act drops. Immediately they're like, happy birthday. It's like happy birthday, Mr. President. His jaw like falls to the floor and he like immobilizes. He's like, what is happening? I'm sure he was.
Wait, was he not let in on the plan?
No.
Oh my God.
We're all fucking laughing at him.
Wait, that's actually really funny.
Because he's definitely like Rockhard.
Did he think, shit, is it my birthday?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is it low key my birthday?
He's immobilized because he didn't realize his birthday was that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All of this to say, I go home, I tell my mother about this experience. Mm-hmm. She starts cracking up.
That's and a then great story.
For an end of year birthday gift, she gets me this Hooters shirt, which used to be too big on me and now fits really well. And it's the most flattering shirt I own.
It's great. I didn't even notice.
Guess not very flattering then.
No.
This is my I want Lucas to notice me shirt.
I finally see you.
Before I was just kind of a see-through guest.
Yes, yeah. As all women are.
That's true.
Yeah.
When we have guests on this couch, you're usually just kind of talking to their spleens and spines.
Yeah, they're like the axolotl, just see-through, you know?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. No, he's doing great.
Axolotl. Yeah, yeah. You talk to his family?
Not his family. They're acidic.
Oh my God, like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, because he's in the tunnel.
Jake Gyllenhaal recently posted a photo of himself running in a tunnel. And the caption for some reason was, I swear to God, it was, I know you've all wanted to see a photo of me running in a tunnel. I was like, Jake.
Which is a crazy sentence.
Who asked you for that?
Well, much like that dude with the birthday, I'm thinking, fuck, did I think that?
Was it my birthday? Jake Gyllenhaal only runs in the tunnel when it's your birthday. It's true.
Oh my God, it's just what I always wanted.
Yeah. What's the craziest birthday you've ever had?
The craziest birthday I've ever had?
When you were born.
No, that was normal.
That was normal.
I expected that.
Were you C-section?
No, I was au naturel, baby. Oh,
me too.
No, yeah, and I came out real quick. Did real you? Painlessly. Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of small.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it didn't take much effort. I don't say this often. It doesn't take much to give birth to me.
You do.
Want to, it would not take up a lot of your day.
All right, I'll do it.
You'll try. I'll try it.
You kind of have a big head.
Yeah. Honestly, when I was born.
Not when you were born.
No, I grew into it.
Knowledge.
Yes.
The knowledge came
It built up over time. Yeah.
That's good.
No, yeah, but I was very compact. I slid out expertly.
On expert mode.
On expert mode. Okay, craziest birthday. I don't know. I haven't done, like, really crazy things for my birthday. At least I don't think. I mean,
I mean, I do say, like, this, I don't think of it in relation to my birthday, but I think it was my birthday where I had a lot of people over in college at my apartment. We had like 40 people packed into like a tiny, tiny apartment. And like, I was on the edge of blacking out and I baked chocolate lava cakes for everybody.
You're wild for that.
I'm
wow.
so crazy.
Wow. What's next? Wine o'clock? Oh my God, Lucas. Live, laugh, love. Oh my God. I bet you freaking read. I bet you're a freaking Gryffindor.
Don't give me coffee until I've had my coffee.
Don't coffee me until I've had my talk.
Oh my God. Wait, can I tell you? Last night I was in Astoria for a great show with the wonderful Gabe Malika. And he did a show that I hosted last year, my first impressions show. And he came to do that. And then he got like food poisoning. Mm. And we got him an Uber so that he could go home. And then he told me that he did another show at Caveat and started feeling food poisoning feelings in exactly the same way. And he ate something similar. It's like something with eggs. And he was like, am I about to have the exact same day at the exact same venue? And then he just farted and he was fine.
So he had a groundhog day.
Yes.
But
it all worked out.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
Maybe that's when the timeline split.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's the craziest birthday you've ever had?
When I was 21, my friends took me to Medieval Times. We had so much fun. It was my first legal alcoholic drink.
You know what's crazy? That sounds like what I would have said as my answer.
I know. And I would have said I baked chocolate lava cake for everyone. Oh my God. Everyone ate my chocolate lava cake.
Yeah, you're fucking gay.
Yeah. Hey.
I can't say that.
Don't.
I've gotten very comfortable. I think I've gotten a little too comfortable, and I think I need to reel it back.
I think I've gotten a little too comfortable.
Yeah, I've gotten very comfortable with jibs and jabs towards...
You've gotten very gay.
In all ways except the ways that matter.
Yeah. Well, you've never been kissed.
What does that mean?
Well, I was going to say that you've never been... given gays, yeah, but then I changed my mind because I don't want YouTube to think that I don't want YouTube to think we think that's okay.
Yeah, no, we would never endorse such acts.
Never endorse that.
But no, but Medieval Times,
the best. I had a margarita flavored slushy, not to be confused with a margarita. Margarita flavored slushy.
So it was just sort of citrusy?
Yeah.
It was just a citrusy slushy.
Citrusy drink with tequila. Yeah.
Oh, it had tequila in it?
Yes.
So it was a margarita.
I think it was one of those things. It was so bad, you can technically call it a margarita. So it was a margarita flavored slushy. And then we sat there and we watched. Have you ever been to Medieval Times?
Yeah. Oh, I've been once.
Oh,
it's a great time.
We watched the joust.
Oh, I love the joust.
Yeah.
My team, like my night one. Oh my God.
Our night one.
That's
our
awesome.
Night one. It was it was genuinely.
I felt so good.
I feel like if I had been back in the Coliseum days, like watching that happen.
Totally
for real,
different era. Totally different.
I would have been. I think I would have gotten too caught up in the heroics.
Mm?
I think that I would forget there were like real people whose lives were at stake, because I would just be cheering.
Could you switch that other little light on and then angle that light towards me? No. Wait. Could you keep that one on still? Oh.
You want more spotlight?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Point it up just a little. That's good.
You want your name in lights.
I do. Anyway,
too bad, because lights are made by
Jews.
Jews.
Oh, well, there's the Festival of Lights.
That's true. Apparently, that's a lie. Apparently, Passover was like not. It was it happened because Sukkot wasn't celebrated for 8 days because there was a war. But because that's such a horrifying story, they like made up the 8 days and eight nights thing.
Wow.
That's what I heard.
So we were lied to?
We were lied to. Hebrew school was a crazy time. Because, like, okay, basically in Hebrew school, I had teachers who told us, like, all the stories. And then I had this one teacher, Carol. Shout out to Carol. Carol fucking rocked. She had a class.
I've ever met a Jewish Carol.
Carol was this gigantic woman from Boston with a crazy accent. And
what, Jamaican?
Yeah, you should do it.
No. Fool me once.
It'd be funny if you...
Well, no, it's just you said like a crazy accent for someone in Boston. I was like, oh, what's the craziest accent someone from Boston could have?
It'd be fully Jamaican, Chinese, perhaps. Could be. She was she was white.
Okay.
And she had a Boston accent. And our class was full of like, you know, seventh grade boys. It was like all boys except for me. And
why weren't there any other girls?
There's one other girl who came in at the end. But then I don't know. She's kind of aloof. I mean, she and I got along okay. We talked about how we thought Avril Lavigne sold out.
Okay.
We were both the same kind of girl, if you know what I mean.
The wrong kind.
Insufferable. Yeah. Sinful.
Mm.
Yeah. We were both the same kind of girl, if you will.
Say gay without saying gay.
Well, when I went to her bat mitzvah, I think she seemed straight because she said she had had a crush on a boy there since she was three and she wanted to dance with him. And that boy asked me to dance and I said no.
Since she was three?
I know, that's crazy, right?
That's so consistent. That's too consistent.
Well, you know how the movies are.
I honestly don't know. Wait.
There's movies where people are like, oh, I had a crush on this person since I was three. And then they like get together. I think she was emulating the movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never
movies are car crashes.
Yeah. Well, it's just I've never been in an environment where I was around the same group of kids from that time.
I think they went to some kind of Jewish school that I
see. Okay. Now this makes more sense.
Yes.
I was too public school pilled.
I was also public school pilled. I did have kids I knew since I was three, but I had like a neighbor. That's why.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So that boy, he asked me to dance and I said no because of girl code. And then he went and he asked by the way, I didn't know the bat mitzvah girl very well. She was just the girl from Hebrew school.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and asked her best friend to dance and she danced with him. Oh, I was like, God. I didn't even know this girl. And I said no. And this bitch said yes. I should have just said yes, taking the heat.
Wait, did you think he was cute?
Yes.
They should have danced.
He was the hottest fellow there.
I'm so sorry.
Of the one boy.
Of the one boy.
Yeah, of the one boy he was the best one.
Of the sample size of one.
Yeah.
He was carrying that.
He was carrying the load for sure.
Oh my God.
So Carol, crazy Carol, would tell us basically we heard all these stories in Hebrew school and then Crazy Carol came and just like shattered all of them. Crazy Carol actually had a lot of points. I was glad that we learned the truth, but I remember
about Xenu.
Yeah. She told us that there was this volcano in space and Tom Cruise was there. And I was like, oh, thank God. All that Otto Nye stuff is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder how old he is. If he's been around for millions. What's a skincare routine?
Retinol. Fentanyl. There's fentanyl in retinol.
There's a song in there somewhere. There's a limerick.
Ayo, don't get stuck on that fentanyl. Instead, do retinol.
All right.
Sorry, that's a lyric by Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, again, we're gonna get demonetized. We keep stealing from other people.
You're right. We can't do it.
Yeah. There was something else that I wanted to bring up from social media, which was the post I sent you from Leonardo DiCaprio saying happy birthday to
his great friend, Dr. Jane Goodall.
Yeah, tell me your thoughts on that.
This is so unrehearsed.
Well, you had some pretty interesting thoughts that you sent me that I feel like you should verbalize.
Yes. It's because, like, okay, I believe that they are friends. I am not disparaging any connection that they may have. The thing is, he said great friend. And I'm thinking, you can't be great friends. There's no way that you... there's no way you're great friends. There's no way you, like, that, like, she swipes on your Tinder, you know? There's no way that she's just like, you know?
Do you think they text?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't think that she texts. Mm. Could you see her texting? I see her Snapchatting.
Nudes.
She's just
filters. Like, filters. She puts the dog filter on. She's like, oh my God, saw one of these in the wild. Sends it to Leo.
And she's like, look at this link. And it's just a photo of her shit in the bowl. I would love it if Jane Goodall was that kind of guy. Just texting the chat, being like, hey,
boys, cool. Big one today.
Yeah. Or being like, oh, I have a really weird request. Can you check out this mole on my back? Because that's a mark of a great friend.
Yeah.
Is if they'll, I realize I define a lot of friendships by a lack of healthcare. I just realized that about myself.
Say more.
I just realized a lot of it is I need help.
Yeah. If you had,
I don't have a mole on my body. Please don't be worried. I don't.
If you had healthcare, your friends would leave in a heartbeat. Yeah. Oh, what? You're going to Snapchat your doctor instead of me?
Yeah.
Imagine Snapchatting your doctor. Bro, check out this mole.
It's kind of what a doctor is there for.
That's
kinda.
True. I mean, that's telehealth.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Do you think Jane Goodall and Leo DiCaprio have smoked weed together?
That's the crux, is have they done that?
Yeah.
And
Snoop Dogg and Martha style friends?
Well, Snoop Dogg and Martha, obviously they do. Obviously
they smoke weed every day.
Of course they do. And that sounds lovely. But also, I would love to smoke weed with Jane Goodall and Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I think I would have a really good time with them, but I don't know if they do that together.
Do you think, okay, here's a far-fetched theory. You know how Leo DiCaprio always goes for these younger women? Mm-hmm. What if that's because he's so spurned by, he asked out Jane Goodall. She said no, but let's be friends. And then ever since then,
he couldn't go for anyone remotely
mature. Heart is
anyone
too
remotely
broken.
Mature.
His heart can't take it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
I know. It's very sad.
Oh, and now he's just like permanently friend zoned. He's like, I'm just glad that I get to have her in my life.
Yeah. I mean, a birthday post is like pretty significant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A great friend, Jane Goodall. Yeah. How good of friends are they? Like,
also, she's 90. So she was like 70 when he was like, I don't know, like early 20s.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Doing the math.
Yeah, she wasn't in his...
It's kind of hot.
She wasn't in his posse.
Mm.
He had a posse.
With Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then who else?
Tobey Maguire, too. It was like a bunch of other guys who looked like Tobey Maguire.
Tobey O'Drift.
Tobey O'Drift. That's good.
Thank you.
Are they such good friends that they, like... Is it one of those things where it's like... Hey, want to go to the diner?
I think we're just hitting on the same. It's just how much do they meet up?
Yeah.
Also, wait, is Jane Goodall married? I do need to know. I need to know if Jane Goodall is married.
No, she's in her hoe phase.
Mm.
Call her Jane Badall.
Oh my God.
Okay.
She
only dates black guys. Call her Jane Badu.
I don't know what Badu means.
Erica Badu.
Oh. What?
If only there was someone around who was a quarter black who would get that joke.
Oh, look at me. I'm making a joke. I'm just going to use a random artist who's black's name. Ooh.
It's just Jane Badal, Jane Badu. It just rolled off the tongue.
I'm sorry. No. That was disgusting. By the way, she was
As far as I know, she is single, Jane Goodall.
Oh,
she,
thank God. Jane, slide into my DMs.
Please. Her last relationship ended when her ex-husband, Derek Bryson, died in 1980.
Oh, no. Yeah. She's been single for...
Wait. When was Leo DiCaprio born? Hold on.
You're blowing my mind right now.
Born 1974. Okay, never mind.
Okay, so I was, he was six.
I was hoping it was going to be like, oh, yeah. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Leo DiCaprio.
Welcome back, my ex. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
great,
my God.
Great friend, as in ex in a past life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you believe in that?
Past lives?
Yeah, past lives.
Well, as I say in my stand-up, my mom believes in past lives. Mm-hmm. She told me that I was a nun in a past life, mm-hmm. and she ran a convent, and then I had to be like, Mom, that's actually the plot of The Sound of Music. But she told me that joke I do, I told her that, and she was like, yeah, that's because when we watched The Sound of Music when you were a kid, you used to look at the nuns really closely and be like, they're all kissing the floor. I'm so glad I don't have to do that.
That is the wildest conclusion you can draw.
From
a kid saying a thing.
That's Brenda for you. Shout out to my mom who's listening.
Shout out, Brenda.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
I'm glad I don't. Did you say I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore?
No, I didn't. I wasn't like, no, I'm glad I didn't know. I'm glad I don't have to do that. Like I did my past life.
Yeah, because if you said any more, then as your mom, I would think, oh, maybe, right. Maybe my daughter was a nun in a past life. This makes sense because I've always felt like I was a convent runner.
Well, she believes in other past lives. Like she believes that like she's encountered her sister in past lives, like all kinds of people she's encountered in past lives. I think if I had a past life, I would remember it. So it can't be that important. What do you think?
I kind of do. Weirdly, I do weirdly believe in past lives. Like, I remember my dad told me the story of my grandfather, who I was actually named after, Theodore Arnold.
Okay, dox.
Yeah, I'll dox that dead man. I'll dox him.
Yeah, guys, just try and find him.
His name is his real name was Tovia Aronovich.
Toby Maguire.
That I wish I said that.
It'd be funny say the name Toby Maguire. Oh shit, I doxed him.
That's crazy.
Doxing a celebrity. Jane Goodall. Oh, we doxed her. She's 90. Oh, sorry guys.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so you're named after Theo Arnold.
Yes. But he
shout out to Big Arn.
Big Arn. He learned Spanish because he always felt like he had this weird connection to the Spanish language and Spanish culture. And he, like, at that time, he already spoke five languages, but then he was taking classes at night school in New York when he, like, moved here from Poland. And he was like, I need to learn Spanish. And he got so good at it that native Spanish speakers thought that he was, like, an expat. He was really, really good. And one... And he was known for having like a horrible sense of direction, but he was once on a trip to Spain with my grandmother, and one day he just went out for a walk. Okay, we are back. We had a little audio issue, but yeah. I finished my story, but I'm going to get back into it. So my grandfather, he goes out for a little walk and he finds this statue of a Spanish general. And I love that you're like, you're redoing your reactions as if I didn't do this already.
Well, I...
you're such a good actor.
I love war.
You love war?
I do. So I'm not even faking it. I'm like, tell me what happened to the Spanish general.
Mm-hmm. Well, he died.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What about the Spanish specific?
No, they're still alive.
Okay, thank God.
The Spanish, they're still around.
Okay.
But my grandfather, he goes out. He finds this statue of a Spanish general when he wasn't even looking for it.
Well, that's how finding statues works.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I heard this story already, but now I'm finding like funny things in it.
Yeah.
he saw a statue. He wasn't even looking for a statue. I'm like,
he was wandering around.
Yeah. That's me every time I go to the park. I'm not like, oh, there's a statue there. I can't believe this thing found me. It's like, that's where statues live.
Yeah, they're just around.
Okay, so he found the statue, wasn't even looking for it.
Wasn't even looking for it, but it looked a little bit like him.
The story's way better the second time. I get to take in the details a lot more.
Yeah. And so my dad told me that. And I was, and as a child, I was like, oh my God, maybe that was him in a past life. And my dad was like, oh my God, 100%.
And he was convinced.
100%.
And then what I said to you was, your dad was convinced about a lot of things.
Yes.
Like the vaccines.
Being bad.
Being bad.
Being very, very bad.
And then I said, what if he was right?
Mm-hmm.
Vaccines cause...
Are the devil.
Are the devil.
They cause... bills you have to pay.
Social media addiction.
And adhood. ADHD.
And ADHD. They cause an absolutely insatiable...
Lust.
Lust. They cause... they cause weight gain after 26.
Okay, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, it's coming. I was... you know what I was thinking about the other day?
What?
I was thinking about how sometimes you forget to eat.
Yes.
And I never forget to eat.
Uh-huh.
I wish we could like switch bodies because then we'd have the perfect gender physiques.
That's I don't know. I don't know if I. OK, that's not a gender envy. That's not what I feel. Do you actually wish you had a physique like this?
Like you?
Yes.
I wouldn't want to be that stone skinny, but like sometimes I will be honest, like. I look at a woman who's like my age, who's like very thin and I think doesn't have the beautiful face I have, but like people like trip and fall all over themselves for her. And I'm like, what is it about a skinny girl that like, is it because it's like a socially acceptable way for men to, it's like more socially acceptable to want to hook up with like the skinny girl with kind of a weird face than like the curvy girl who's objectively hot? Like,
I honestly,
not that I'm calling myself objectively hot, even though it is true.
Yes. No, honestly, I think that it just comes from a place of wanting to, because when I was a kid, I had a lot of issues of inferiority, and I would just pick, and it was like picking something that you could use to make yourself feel better than them.
Yes.
And it's not at all if you're attracted to like someone who's curvy versus someone who's thin. It's just trying to make that person feel bad and trying to use that as fuel to make yourself feel better. That's all it is.
I do feel that I see it in my friends sometimes where like I think some people's types in whatever gender are like.
I also think it's funny that we're talking about an ambiguous, skinny but busted woman who you have not named.
Her name is J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, she's fucking bald, bro. She's fucking bald as shit, dude.
Why does everyone want to date the skinny bald girl with an Oscar? She's not even pretty. She's just a character actor in his 60s.
Oh my God, yeah.
I do think a lot of people's types, yeah, are more about like what they think they should want.
Yeah. And
I've experienced that with my like attractions to men at times where like sometimes I've wanted the boy who looks like the boy my mom thinks I should want.
Right.
Like the Jewish boy with brown hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I got older, I was like, I am attracted to men, but I guess not always those men. It's like weirder men than that. It's like
weirder than Jews?
Weirder than Jews?
Wow. No, that is a huge thing, is that sort of like misconstruing what you think is your own desires as what you have been taught to desire, what you think will actually please your parents or a person of authority. That's a huge thing.
It's so bizarre. I can't even, and then like types change and whatever. I think I've been able to like deconstruct my type a little bit from those expectations, obviously, and liking women really helped with that. But like,
interesting,
I do have like female friends who like, oh, the only guy they'll go for is like a white guy with brown hair and blue eyes, and it's like, because blonde would make them gay, but like,
what?
You've never heard the dichotomy of white men?
Oh, that they can't be blonde?
Blonde is gay, brunette is straight.
What?
I made that up, but it's true.
Wait, is this, does this have any
sound bearing? Off in the comments. Blonde is gay, brunette is straight.
I just wanted to make sure it was still recording.
It's still recording. Okay, it's okay. Recording my it insanely hot takes. Ginger is evil. And ginger, you can't place it.
Okay.
People think ginger. I love ginger, but people think ginger is. People are like, ginger's have no souls.
Ginger's beautiful.
People say these cliche things, gingers have no souls or whatever, but it's because they can't place it along a binary, so they're like confused. This is like, I'm talking about the like primitive straight girl brain, the mm-hmm. like the Jane Goodall ape inside all of us.
Uh huh.
And then brown eyes on a guy is like. Typical, but blue eyes is mysterious. This is all for white men. For okay. black men and any other race, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a girl, brunette is tomboy, blonde is girl, ginger is witch.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't describe how little guys think about this.
There's also, okay, for Jewish women, us mm-hmm. Jewish women, we grow up with these like Eurocentric beauty standards.
For sure, yeah.
We think that like our curly hair and big boobs and kind of like weird little demeanors and awkwardness like mm-hmm. make us less pretty than other girls, which is like, if you've ever seen Funny Girl, that's kind of what Barbra Streisand is up against the whole time. So my friend, one of my friends who I write with, we're writing like a script about Queen Esther, we have a joke where we're like, well, is she hot or is she Jew hot? And it's not to actually say Jewish women are less beautiful, because I don't think that's true. It's like we perceive ourselves as less beautiful, because I think we are perceived as less beautiful by like a lot of people.
I would say maybe in like recent years that there has like been sort of like a resurgence in like finding Jewish woman hot, maybe in a fetishy way. Maybe.
Yes.
Because like
that benefits me, so I don't
yes.
care.
But like it's become like a sort of trope, the idea of Ashkenazi big boobs.
Yes.
That is a huge thing.
And shout out to Rachel Bloom for making that happen. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Really, the song Heavy Boobs.
Oh yes, I remember that. I
got them heavy boobs. So heavy. Good. Do you think that the same
they
thing
they got
has
their
happened
own
with...
memoirs. I remember that.
It was so
I've
good.
Seen that. I've seen it. Yeah, it's good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
A show we've both seen.
There
craziness.
We go. Finally.
Finally.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen a full episode. I've just seen that.
It's a great song.
Because I got sent it so much.
By all the heavy boobs you held. You got sent it by the boobs.
Each individual one as well. It's a lot of links.
I think they have their own taste.
Let me tell you.
If I had a nickel. Do you think the same thing has happened with skinny men? I think skinny men have
yes.
been fetishized.
Oh, like, yeah.
The
yeah.
Timothy Chalamet really brought
for
it up.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There are many that be like, I want to break him.
Interesting. How do you feel about that?
I'll let it happen.
That's how I feel, too. Maybe it's because I'm like, being white, like being fetishized isn't like actually like dangerous for me.
No,
like,
it doesn't actually harm you.
It
yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
actually harm me. And all it is like people want to like have sex with me. And that's great.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Well, now we're getting into something. Do you think that it is to fetishize someone to have a preference for a certain body type? Just to find that attractive.
I don't think it's the body type itself. I think it's if you're like, oh, I always want to fuck Jews. Like that's
oh no no
of,
no
like,
that's bad. No, no.
Or like, I guess it's not the same like Jews and skinny guys. But like
yeah. But then there are also people who are like just culturally, I can't talk. Culturally, I just want to date within this community, i.e., Jews. Like, as a Jewish person, people I know. Like, say
and
that.
It drives me crazy because a lot of Jewish men have, like, really hurt some of my friends because they'll, like, date around for a while, but then they want to find a girl who's more Jewish than he is.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's like, they'll, like, date around and be like, and, like, I've heard from Indian friends that, like, Indian guys are the same way, where it's, like, date around, fuck around for, like, a little while with, like, non-religious women. But then when they're, like, I gotta get serious, it's, like, they want to marry the girl their parents want them to marry.
Yeah.
But that's, it's crazy how, like, I don't know if you feel this way, too. Like, marriage and children has been so ingrained into the way we think about everything that everyone just has these expectations of, like, what they're supposed to want. And then when they actually find the thing they want, they don't know what they're looking at.
Wait, say that again. I want to examine this.
So it's like people are taught they need to want a specific thing. Like, let's say you're a Jewish man and your parents are like, you need to find a Jewish woman. And then the Jewish man goes out and he hooks up with all races. He hooks up with men. He hooks up with women. But at some point, instead of like, if he falls in love with someone organically upon that journey, being like, okay, let's explore that, he goes, okay, but enough fooling around, I need to find a nice Jewish girl right
yes,
now.
Yes, yeah. He has this structure in his mind of where his life eventually like needs to funnel into.
Yeah, and I feel like I have friends of all ethnicities, all genders, who are like on that path where they're like, we're at the age now where we're starting to be like, okay, I'm either gonna, you know, find a long-term partner and get married like kind of soon, or I need to break apart those conceptions of marriage for myself.
Oh, do you have any conceptions of marriage that you're like breaking up?
I used to think I really wanted to get married.
Do you think you don't necessarily need that?
I would still like to get married. I mean, being in an open relationship has really been nice because I've realized that like loving someone isn't possessing them or them possessing me. And it's funny because like I don't think Liz and I really use the open relationship very much. It's not like we're very actively hooking up with other people, but there's like a certain amount of like trust and communication there where it's like this idea of like marriage being this closed contract between two people that has kind of gone away for me. And then in terms of things like having kids, like, I'm more open to adoption now than I ever was. I think I used to have it in my mind that I absolutely wanted a biological kid. Now that doesn't necessarily feel true for me. I mean, it's so expensive to have IVF, and I don't know if I want to fucking spend the money on all of that. I mean, I know adoption is, like, expensive, too. Having a kid is expensive, but I don't know if I want to get invasive procedures, have my eggs all, like, juiced up. Like, I don't know if I feel like I need
to do
that.
You don't
want
to jerk off your eggs.
I do want to jerk off my eggs.
Yeah.
But that's different. It's unrelated to having a child. I just want to jerk off my eggs.
It'll be over easy.
I think also the breakup, being in a, when we started this podcast, I was in a long-term relationship with someone I had the full intent of marrying. And then that relationship fell apart. And it's like, okay, you can't cling on to something that you don't necessarily, it doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
Which was so many people are.
I was trying to think of a Star Wars pun. Yeah, but you've all can do. Because you said Klingon.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
Terrible.
What happened?
His forehead is broken. He looks just. It looks terrible.
It's a. It's two heads now.
That reminds me of that old Onion article, like, so inspiring. This 450-pound man has split into two 225-pound men. And he's like, these two guys who are now in, like, a poly relationship with that wife. It's so funny. Sorry, but...
But...
Deconstructing relationship styles.
Do you feel any particular way about that? Like, do you still want to like get married, have kids at some point?
I definitely still want to. Yeah. I don't know if, well, the thing is, I don't think I was ever for sure like I need to get married.
Yeah.
Because like in my family, that was never the thing that you had to do. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of people in my family that they just never, like, they had kids, but they just never got married. Right. And it's just totally fine. It's much, I was very lucky in that my family gave a lot of sort of like models of relationships that weren't as traditional as I think most people grew up with.
That is nice.
And so I definitely grew up with that. I still, in my mind, I still think I want to have like a biological child. Mm-hmm. I do think that. I mean, like, I would definitely be open to it, but if I listen to my gut, I think that's where I'm headed.
Yeah. Well, it would be pretty easy for you.
Yeah. Well, because as
a
guy,
you could knock me up right now.
Hey, I'm real quick. Check. So I was gonna be like, oh my god, look, we just had sex so fast. That's what I, you know, like in SpongeBob where he's like, you want to see me running around? You want to see you do it again? Yeah. That's what I was trying to make a joke right now, but I didn't speed up enough with my own words.
We just
copulated.
Welcome back to Juno's Meerkats.
We are having a child right now.
We're having a child. He did it.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I...
You can't. I'm on my period.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear more details about it? Or?
Yeah, sure. Talk about it. What day are you on?
One.
One?
Sorry, two.
Two, okay.
It was one last night, so I never know to count the night or the day.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. How's it feeling?
Bad.
Bad?
Yeah.
You got cramps? You got?
I got the cramps. I always got the cramps.
Yeah.
But I took Advil.
That's good.
And usually I feel better when I'm on various drugs. When I'm on my period, I also have a lot of supplements.
Oh.
Because I will try anything.
So you feel more enriched in that time.
Yeah. I be studying.
You be studying.
I be learning, listening, striving to do better.
Listening to women for once.
What about my period? I'm like, fine. Just say whatever. I don't give a shit anymore.
Do you think that women are better at timekeeping because of the monthly cycle?
Are women better at timekeeping?
Yeah. Well, because like...
What?
Well, I don't know. Do you think you just
okay,
have,
Don
like,
Draper. What are you talking about?
Just like having a more... ingrained sense of schedule because you have this thing in your life that you have to like
Lucas,
account for.
Women don't have an ingrained sense of schedule. You just don't have an ingrained sense of schedule.
Okay. I asked a question. You said no. Okay, we can move on.
All right, listen. Okay, I fucked up. Okay.
It was a question.
Listening and learning. Lucas, I think women keep time better because we're all waiting for our eggs to expire. And we have an internal clock on.
That's yeah.
Like, all yeah. waiting for the day Lucas Arnold fertilizes us.
Said no one ever. Said no one ever.
Come on, we
no
be
one's being
it.
Like, come on, when's Luke's gonna fertilize my egg? Come on,
I'm saying it. I'm saying it.
All right, I'll give me a cup.
Give me two girls. Should we go in there?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay. I got a really funny text just now that I'll tell you.
Oh.
Maybe on the Patreon.
Okay.
Because it's about someone we know.
Okay.
Someone wrote the ChatGPT thing in. Shout out to whoever has been writing ChatGPT episodes that make our relationship more complicated.
I love AI written scripts.
Me too.
I love them so much. All right. So, shall I do the stage directions as well?
Yes. Okay, so someone says, I'm here again with another AI episode. I wanted to see how complicated ChatGPT could make your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, episode 12, The Rift. Intro music fades out. Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Two Nosy Meerkats Show. Today, Gabby and I are diving into the deep end of our complicated relationship.
That's right, Lucas. It's time to address the elephant, or should I say... the meerkat in the room.
Our friendship has hit a rough patch lately. Our friendship has hit a rough patch lately, folks. We've been avoiding it, but it's time to confront the issues head on.
It all started when Lucas decided to pursue his dream of becoming a trapeze artist. I mean, who even knew meerkats could do trapeze? So ChatGPT is assuming we are actual animals. Yes. I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, by the way, meerkats can't do. Do the trapeze?
Trapeze?
No.
You don't know.
No, I know.
This is complicating our relationship.
Yeah, this is
for
complicating
real.
Her. Okay. Hey, Gabby, I have aspirations beyond burrow digging and anteating, you know?
But Lucas, you risked life and limb swinging around like a circus performer. I was worried sick every time you stepped onto that trapeze.
And I appreciate your concern, Gabby, but I couldn't shake the feeling of freedom up there in the air.
Well, maybe if you consulted me before joining the circus, we wouldn't be in this mess.
And maybe if you hadn't been so obsessed with your latest invention. A jet-powered ant vacuum? We wouldn't be having this conversation.
My invention could revolutionize ant collecting, Lucas. It's not just some harebrained scheme.
Tell that to the explosion in our burrow last week.
So we also live together in this. All right. Complicated. Oh, like you've never caused a mess with your trapeze shenanigans.
An awkward silence fills the air. Look, Gabby, maybe we've grown apart. Maybe our dreams are taking us in different directions.
But Lucas, I don't want to lose our friendship over this.
Neither do I, Gabby. Maybe it's time we took a break from each other. Figure things out on our own.
A break? Lucas, are you serious?
I can't look at you.
I can't look at you either.
I think it's
when I look at you, I cry because this is so emotional.
I think it's for the best, Gabby. At least for now.
Fine, Lucas. If that's what you want.
It's not what I want, Gabby, but it's what we need. Sad music begins to play. Well, folks, it looks like this might be the end of the road for the nosy meerkats show.
We'll keep you updated on our journey, listeners. But for now, this is goodbye.
Outro music fades in. Until we meet again, stay curious.
And keep on meerkatting.
Outro music fades out, leaving a somber atmosphere.
We ended our relationship on air.
Over you having an invention.
Yeah, and you being a trapeze artist. I could see you being pretty good at the trapeze.
I could definitely. Oh, yeah. I'd be amazing.
You would be amazing.
I'd be so good.
Have you ever done it?
No.
I've done it. It's so fun.
Wait, when you say you've done the trapeze, what do you mean?
I've taken a trapeze class.
Did you like jump from one thing to another?
No, I couldn't figure out how to do that. That was too hard. But
yeah,
I've
that's
done
what I
thing,
was imagining.
I've done the thing where you like swing, but there is supposed to be. So basically in the intro to trapeze class, they teach you how to like flip in the air, mm-hmm. which I was able to successfully do once. But it's really scary because you have to like hold on really tight and your palms are sweaty mom spaghetti, if you will, because it's so high up.
Wow.
And you actually have to jump and it looks like you're jumping into nothingness. And there's a video of me somewhere like I'm actually like screaming.
Oh my God.
Like at the top of my lungs. And I took Sylvie there for like a gift. Like I got her a gift. Aww. But it was a stupid gift because I didn't remember that she was afraid of heights. And we were in a fight that day.
This is a bad day.
It's a
this
bad
is a
day.
Real rough
we're,
day.
So we're like not talking to each other in the Uber on the way to the trapeze class. And I was like, well, we have to go to this trapeze class because I got us a Groupon. And so we go to the trapeze class and we're both like, we're like cranky. Like, wow, we're like signing up to trapeze. But then we did it and it was like, it was so much fun. And then we went back to fighting afterwards, but it was a blast.
So you could say that you went from the ropes to being on the ropes.
Or we could jump off a bridge.
I'm not doing
this. And trapeze.
Okay.
Or we could trapeze off the rope.
You're really struggling and this is fun.
Yeah, we could say that.
Yep.
You're okay. On the ropes. On the ropes.
All right, let's read the other submission that we have. Do you want to take this one?
Okay. Hi, y'all. I'm writing in response to your question about what Homeworks Eats Dog is about. Oh, remember we got a submission in like 3 weeks ago some girl was talking about a play that she was in called Homework Eats Dog.
Okay, okay, okay.
She, and we were like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
She's telling us what that is.
Okay.
First, it was the one who had wanted to be in Rent, the musical, but her parents were religious. She said, I decided it would be safer to just wait for another play to come along. My parents are quite invasive. I could get into some serious situations by lying or anything like that. That's fine. Homework Eats Dog was a play about a class that was assigned a science project. It goes through all of these students explaining to their strict teacher why they couldn't turn in the assignment till it gets to the last girl, who explains that her science project, where she fed rats different things, went really badly and the rats ended up eating her dog. I played one of the rats, a student, an angel, and a sentient bed. Yet there was someone playing the dog and we all swarmed her and ate her. There was also a whole scene where one student claimed that his new religion prohibited him from doing any homework. I held up the angel Gabriel's wings.
All right, this is a mess of a play.
I kind of love that. I love a chaotic play like that.
I do too. It's good to see something go just awry.
Well, it reminds me of, I've talked about it on the pod, the Hunchback of Notre Dame play we did senior year.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, good. Remind people.
It was, so, at LaGuardia, the SDF, Senior Drama Festival, was like the biggest deal ever. And the two other plays were Rhymers of Eldridge and The Crucible, which are like classics. But then the third play in our year was one of our teachers decided to have a midlife crisis and write his own version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I love this so much.
That he,
I
what,
love this so
didn't
much.
Finish. That he didn't finish by the time we got into rehearsals.
I love this.
And he pitched it to us, the cast, being like, this is an amazing writing exercise for you guys where you get to finish my play for me. Naturally, only one kid did it, and he was already the lead, so he just gave himself more lines. The whole play was absolutely incoherent, made no sense. It was supposed to be this like period piece dialogue.
There's nothing better than an egomaniacal theater teacher, but the only thing that is actually better is one who just doesn't even do the work.
He didn't even
doesn't even commit.
That was also when that was the same play I've spoken about this before, where the girl who was playing like the princess character had to be understudied because she was trying to get hair extensions, aka a weave, but she was white and she'd never had a weave before, so she didn't know a weave took like 6 hours, and she got the weave day of and like missed the show. And was, like, apparently, like, crying. And everyone at the black barbershop was like, girl, I don't know what you thought was going to happen. Okay, kids listening to this podcast, sometimes we'll say things like, no one's ever going to remember what you did in high school.
There
it's
are some
not
things
true.
You're going to do. There are some things that are going to live with you forever.
If it's really embarrassing, I'm going to remember that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Do we have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
Should we prophecy corner each other?
Let's do that.
Lucas, what is your prophecy for me?
In five years, I see you working as a comedian and a TV writer. I do see you having kids. I do see that happening for you.
I would love that.
Yeah. I think you probably are like, you have one and then you're like planning logistically how to have like a second. Yeah. And
such a nice life.
Yeah. And then your wife is like, oh, no, you're carrying the second one. You're like, oh, if I have to.
Is that how I would say it?
Yeah. You're like, oh, OK.
Yeah. OK.
Yeah. Let me see what else. I see.
Oh, no.
I see your mom trying to move in with you, even though her relationship with your dad is fine.
I see that too. I do. Gabrielle, it would be so fun. We could be roommates.
She's like, I can take care of you. And you're like, I'm fine. We're doing fine.
Gabrielle, please, the grandchild. Oh, here's a funny story about my mom. My mom will appreciate this.
And your dad's like, where'd Brenda go?
The relationship's fine.
Yeah.
When we were in South Africa, she was staying at my grand's flat and I was staying at a hotel like across the street. And she asked me to pick up a latte for Cindy, who is my grand's like home care nurse.
Okay.
And somewhere, I guess, in her like wild text message, which are always paragraphs long, she asked me to pick her up a latte, but I didn't see it because it was too much information. And so I forgot to pick her up a latte and I like hand my latte to Cindy. My mom goes, where's mine? I was like, you didn't tell me to pick up a latte. And she just says in this cadence, Gabrielle, I did say, oh, latte. Gabrielle, I did say I wanted a latte. Oh, Gabrielle. She just starts kind of like lamenting that I didn't pick her up one. And now it's something my sister and I say to each other all the time.
Latte.
Oh, latte. Gabrielle, I did say. Oh, Gabrielle, I did say. Oh. So I can see that too. Okay, yeah. Here's my prophecy for you. I think you'll have like a long-term girlfriend and everyone is gonna know you guys are gonna get married, but you're still like figuring out how to pop the question.
Aww.
But you're like such a nervous wreck about it that you're like trying to figure it out. You're also trying to figure out if you want to get engaged. You probably know you do, but you're like, ugh, I don't know how to do it. I picture you definitely still, I could picture you like on a show.
Okay.
Like either like some kind of like late night show or like as an actor on something. I think you will have a dog.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
This is very nice.
I think you'll have a dog though who like that dog had a past life and like, it's like a funny dog.
Was my grandfather.
It like, yeah, it has demons. It hates the vaccine. An anti-vax dog.
Okay, that's my dad, and I don't want a dog who's my dad.
You want a dog who's a statue.
Yeah.
I can also picture you massively into gardening.
Oh, absolutely. I thought you were about to say, I could picture you just masturbating. I thought that's what you were going to say.
Nonstop.
Yeah, it's just like, that's what I really see in your future.
Yeah. Well, not untrue. Hopefully you don't stop. I want you to be happy and healthy.
Yeah. Likewise.
I think your hairline will stay intact. You are one of the rare men I know who's not starting to lose hair. There you go.
We're doing it.
Quarter black, don't crack.
You always bring race into it.
Can I tell you? I was like, and I picture you still being a quarter black.
Can I tell you what's interesting is that it's my mom's side of the family, the black, like, mixed side. A lot of balding men. It's my dad's side of the family that had really good
robust
hair.
Yeah, it's really good hair. Vaccines.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Vaccines caused... Whoops. A lot of men in my life would say the vaccine caused hair loss.
Yeah. That was so nice. Thank you.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other prophecies.
Mm. Oh, I see myself getting a Hooter shirt. That's going to happen.
I see myself getting more Hooter shirts.
Mm. But I don't think I would pull off a Hooter shirt as well as you.
I think I'm going to have Julia Desmond make me a Hooter shirt.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're going to embellish it with?
Just boobs all over it. So many boobs. Baseballs.
Oh, that's
maybe.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice and make it particular. I have a shirt on order for like over a year that I haven't gotten.
Oh, yeah. Is it a...
To be fair, it is like...
My riffing is just... Yeah. Is on a hiatus today.
Yeah. I also, like, aside from, like, a little breakfast, I have not had lunch yet. So my brain is like...
Ooh, we should...
I'm very hungry.
We should eat something.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it happened.
We conceived a child.
In our complicated
like
relationship.
In our complicated relationship. And it was on camera, but it was so fast you couldn't see it.
You couldn't see it. Want to see Lucas have sex? Want to see it again?
Boom.
Want to see it again?
Yeah.
Well, at least we mentioned sex only at the end of the episode. So
yeah, we're fine.
YouTube is going to pay us so much money.
Oh my God, so much.
YouTube, thank you for paying us so much money.
Thank you.
Listeners, YouTube. Thank you for listening.
Thank you
Subscribe
for listening.
Subscribe to our Patreon. Subscribe we have a lot of fun bonus content.
We do.
There.
We have lots of fun stuff. And you're going to see a little bit right now once you head there, right now, right this
now.
Second.
We've been Two Noisy Bear Cats. See you next time.